Okay. So let's begin. Take a moment. I need to take a moment myself because I'm a little bit frazzled here. Couple of deep breaths. Just allow yourself to get grounded and centered. Know that we are joining in spirit to hundreds, maybe thousands of other little groups that are meeting on this planet to raise the consciousness of each one of us as individuals and as a group. We do not deny negativity or limitation. We just simply disown ourselves from them. That's not our truth. Just relax into the truth that you are, the blessing of your being. And take another deep breath as we begin this morning. Does anybody have anything left over from last week they need to bring up or take a look at? Floor is always open to that. Good to see you all. I'm going to begin on page 68. I think that's right. Do you your book? You don't have do you? I just want to make double check.
That's four.
What do you have?
No, really, like six or seven.
What do you have?
Like page six, yeah.
Six.
Six, yeah.
I must have moved my bookmarker. Okay. That looks more like it. Page six or seven. I guess it's seven we're on. I've got that sort of highlighted. Okay. For those of you who might be new, what we do is we read a portion of the book and then I start talking about it. And if you can shut me up, you can ask a question or make a comment. Floor is always open. And by the way, this is just my interpretation. It's not necessarily anybody else's, and it's not even necessarily the truth. It's just where I happen to be coming from for the moment. So let's overlap a little bit. We'll begin on the bottom of page six. Now you are not summoning God, making God be where you wanted. God is actually already there, but is being denied by you, and that becomes the manifest experience. Now that sounds pretty harsh. But whenever we are captive of judgment, fear, any one of those negative or limiting emotions, we are in a sense denying the presence of God in that thing or in that person. Years ago, very many years ago, I can remember watching Bishop Sheen, the Catholic bishop, on television. Used to be opposite Milton Berle, so it was kind of a contest. Which one was going to win? Most of the time, Bishop Sheen won. But there were some things he said that I took in as a kid when I was about 5 or 6 years old that I still remember. And one of them was, worry is another form of atheism. And that really struck me. I never forgot that. Worry is another form of atheism. And I think that's what they're saying here. Very different kind of language, but saying pretty much the same kind of thing. God is actually already there, but is being denied by you, and that becomes the manifest experience. When one says, I have a right to know, I have a right to be, I have a right to know myself as worthy, perhaps the door will open. But then you use will to step through. I am in the upper room and claim again the truth. It is the aspect of the divine as you that resides in the upper room and will claim fully each aspect of self that is in agreement to it. We can either be in high consciousness or low consciousness. We can ask ourselves a very simple question. Does the thought that I'm thinking or the action that I'm planning, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? The open heart experience is always there. It's not something you create, but it's something you surrender into. The lower or limited kind of consciousness is with us all the time, but that's the part of us we've identified with most of the time. And again, I'm not saying that as a judgment, I'm just saying that as an awareness. When we teach through Paul, we monitor a system so that the dictation may ensue perfectly. When we teach today, we have the intention to lift the room, to lift the teaching, to lift the comprehension of the teaching beyond a kind of bias that most of you hold as to what should be, your expectations and desires about how God should manifest to appease the small self's desire for a God that gives what it wants. So here we make that decision again. Thanks, Mama. I can essentially approach life and myself on two levels of consciousness. One is sometimes referred to as my lower form of consciousness, another my higher form of consciousness. Higher form of consciousness, the presence of divine spirit is always there. You don't create it. You align yourself with it. And usually what I have to do is I usually have to surrender myself to it. It's not, lower consciousness is always there as well. That's where fear dominates, where judgment dominates, where negativity, where limitation dominates. And that's all you have to do is take a look at our world right now and see what's dominant, see what's happening. And no, here's the catch. It's not them out there that's creating this mess. It's me right in here. It's a metaphysical truth that if I see it out there, it's happening in here. And the only way that's going to change or transform, right, is when I allow, when I, first of all, I accept responsibility for the state of the world as it is, or the state of the world as I perceive it at this particular moment. I accept responsibility for that. And I have the willingness and the ability to change that. I can see this differently. I can see beyond the mask of the personality and the ego consciousness. I have that ability. Do I choose to use it? Sometimes I do, sometimes. Sometimes it's kind of fun hating somebody that much.
Hey, Jerry.
Yo.
Would you refocus your screen or camera or so that we can see you?
Oh, okay, yeah, I've got a little bit of a different setup here this morning. Is that okay? Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, John. Yeah, I couldn't find the regular podium that we use, so we're substituting a chair for that. So sorry for the inconvenience. Thank you, though. Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Something out there.
Accepting responsibility for the world. At the same time, what A Course in Miracles says is, I am not a victim of the world that I see. Even though I'm responsible for it, see, here's the catch sometimes. I recognize that I'm responsible for it, and they say, what an idiot I am. How stupid could I be to create a world that's this messy, that this stupid, that is full of judgment? And that's not the point at all. But that's what the Course, I believe, is getting at when it says, I am not a victim of the world I see. I am in control, I want to use that word, of the world that I see. And I can change the world that I see by focusing differently from what I'm doing right now. It doesn't mean that I stop watching the news necessarily. I mean, that might help. that's sort of denying the problem. It's not really changing anything. I mean, I can get saturated by it if I want to, but I don't have to be that either. How can I change how I see things? How can I change how I see this person or that person? How can I change how I see this situation? And I don't know about you guys, but I got to do that every minute. Because as soon as I stop talking, or as soon as I stop realizing that I could be on a higher plane of existence, I'm going to forget again and again and again and again. And that's not a judgment, that's a realization. It is so easy. We had a theme last night in the gala of Alice in Wonderland. And the world is like that. The world is like out. The world is like, eat me. Do this, do that, and I will bring you peace, or I will make you happy. And never does. We still try it again and again and again and again. And again, that's not a judgment. I think we're getting better at that. I'm becoming more aware that I have a choice. It's not just sitting there taking advantage of me, of who I am. Excuse me, I have a choice about where I go with how I think. I also have a choice about where I go with how I feel. Well, what I found out for myself is that I can change my thinking rather quickly. It's going to take a while for my feelings to catch up. Because they don't change as quickly as my thoughts. Most of the time, because the feelings that I've had become embedded in my mind as being the truth. Is the aspect of the divine as you, the divine, that phrase is going to come up quite often. We're on the bottom of page 6. The divine as you. The divine as you. You are the divine. You are the divine mind. How you are expressing yourself is a unique expression of divine consciousness. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. And that's all you are. Anything else is embellishment, or sometimes not even the truth. But I wonder what it would be like if I knew that and remembered that about myself all day long. I am a reflection. I am an expression of divine con a unique expression of divine consciousness. What would it be like if I looked at everybody else that way? That was an automatic thought change in my mind, an automatic shift in consciousness. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness. I don't understand you right now. I might not see you as that, but I do know you as that. I still get caught up in looking at you as being a personality or being an ego consciousness, but I know that's not who you are. You are just like I am. You are a unique expression of divine consciousness.
Hey,
Oops.
Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
Hey, yeah, welcome. What I've started doing, I've been doing this now for about a month now. So again, most of you probably know. So I serve about 3 days a week at Wayside Christian Christian Mission in downtown Louisville. So as I'm getting off the highway, approaching Broadway, I'll see individuals, with signs, and then when I'm getting ready to just move, I'll say to myself, you know what? That's somebody's son, or that's somebody's daughter. That's just not some random person on the street, with a sign. I try to look into their eyes and see, not caring less about, how they got there. That's none of my business, but to recognize that that is somebody, so I don't get into this thing of like, oh,
Look what you're doing, Jim. You're a good old boy. I'm, patching the back, man. You're serving at this center. But just recognize that that is somebody's daughter and somebody's son. So I want to move that from what you just saying in terms of, that unconditional love that I have. That's in those residents and guests as well.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. That's a great awakening. I recall one time when I was a couple of years ago, I was shuttling back and forth between Chicago and Louisville. Our granddaughter was in the hospital and we weren't sure whether she was going to survive or not. So I came down, went up to Chicago every Sunday morning. Every Sunday afternoon to take care of my grandson Finn, who was about 6 or 7. And so, I would go over, I would do his homework with him. I'd make him lunch, take him to school, pick him up after school, do whatever activities you want, help him with his homework, do that all the way till Friday afternoon. And then Friday afternoon, I would get back in the car again, drive either Friday or Saturday, drive back to Louisville. So I would do the Sunday school class on Sunday morning and talk at church if I was doing that. And then right after that was over, I'd get back in the car again, go up to Chicago, start the week on. Well, there was one place in Chicago, it was downtown Chicago, right before I got on the expressway. And it was a Macy's or one of the larger clothing chains. And every day, inevitably, there would be this woman who would be sitting in this folding chair with a little sign in front of her, and and a cup, and people would come by and drop. And I couldn't get out of my car. I couldn't give her anything because I was stuck in the middle of traffic. But I remember one particular moment where I saw this woman walk by and drop some money in her cup and just continue to walk. And then she stopped and literally turned around, physically turned around, and walked back to this woman and started talking to her. Now, I made up a little morality play in my mind about what happened. But essentially, I think what she was doing was, I want to be able to give you something to get out of, get where you can buy your next meal or whatever it might happen to be. But I want to know you. I want to know what your name is. I want to know maybe how you got to where you got, because I want to see if I can help you out of that. I want to see you as another human being, just as I am. Not just some poor homeless person with a cup. And that made a lasting impression on me. The next time I reach down and give somebody $1 or $5 out of the car window, I want to see you as a human being. I want to see you beyond that. I want to see you as the truth of who you are. I want to see you as a unique expression of divine consciousness. And only you can help me do that. So thanks for reminding me of that, Jim.
Gary, I wanted
You're
to
welcome.
share something that you had sent in the reading last week, which also applies. And it was right at the end. It took me a minute to find it. It was an excerpt. It just says, instead of viewing others as bad or wrong or evil, simply view them as limited. Their consciousness is limiting them to what I consider unpalatable behaviors. But then at the end of that, it says, remember, the higher you move in consciousness, the less fault you find in others. That's a gem right there.
Wow, yeah.
Because at first, when I started having these awakenings, the first thing is I started recognizing, wow, most people are asleep. Most people are running a program, the work program or the mom dad program, and I started realizing the differences. But, I had some people in sponsors and different people that'd say, we accept people where they're at and we ask for what's ours to do. And he was in this place of not fault finding. So anyway, I found that to be a gem, that little, as we grow spiritually and raise our vibration, we find less fault in other people. I found that very powerful. I think radical acceptance is one of the highest forms of love. It doesn't mean that I don't state what I believe in or what I think is best, but I don't get caught so much in the faults and the negative stuff. My life doesn't depend on any political party or any type of thing. Like, anyway, thank you for sending that.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks, Greg.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Greg. That was powerful. I remember reading it and I hadn't delved into it as deeply as you did just now, but I'm going to go back over it. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Paula. Glad to be here.
I also had remembered that for myself again yesterday. It's just this whole remembrance thing, because I was made myself available for that near City Hall, the No Kings protests, and so I had a sign, and I didn't. I was supposed to meet up with some fellas, but I didn't. We kind of got, so it was just me walking. So I was, just concerned, in terms of make sure that I'm in the right camp. And so I'm saying this to myself, but as I got there, everyone, was very, very warm and loving and open. And I dare say those folks, men who maybe we're looking at things different from a different worldview that I was still the same way, because I was doing, as you indicated, Jerry, willing to, irrespective to the personality self that may be out picturing, let me be willing to see them in a higher consciousness.
To make a stand without judgment. Does that fit? To make a stand without judgment.
Absolutely, that fits 100%.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Very nice.
That fits.
I hear something. It's fine. Kind of feeling really sad right now. Right before I came here, I was leaving St. Williams and I heard this rumbling. And what I'm recognizing is, okay, I'm a woman. I'm on the West End, and here's a black man groaning across the street. And I couldn't see that Christ in him in that moment. And I went more into safety mode, protection mode, and I guess the self-compassion piece was I could yell, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I think that yelling alerted somebody in the church. So other people came out. So because there were other people there, I was willing. And this man was very innocent, very just an innocent man. He was on his bike, he was riding to go to work. And anyways, I was able to help call 911. But it kind of saddens me that I could not extend that in that moment. I think about Peace Pilgrim and some guy in Chicago that was faced with, some division, and they just saw that peace, that light of Christ. So just something for me to sit with, I suppose.
Thank you, Laura. I think this is my impression here, not just about you, but I think we create experiences for ourselves that push us up to our limitation. So in some ways, I mean, I'm living your experience right now and feeling that. But I also feel that if you want to look at it this way, that you created that experience to show yourself and to show us as well, right? Here's my growing edge. Not my limitation so much. Here's my growing edge. I'm not exactly where I think I would like to be, but this has revealed to me where I perceive myself to be at this moment, and I can go beyond that. Maybe a couple of steps, but I can. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because sometimes what we do is we don't realize we create situations that put us up to our growing edge. And what we will do is we'll turn it into a club and beat ourselves over the head with it. Not that you would ever do something like that.
Can you share something?
Sure.
This last time when our president was gone, I went to bed. I was devastated. Grew up the house. I said and thought very unkind words about this person. And I was riding in the car the other day, and the radio was off. I would have reacted that it's like a light bulb went off. He is a divine child of God. And I just, it made me feel good to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like you said, I'm not where I need to be, but I'm getting better and I'm home. So thank you.
Well, and that's the flip side of incidents in our lives that we create as well. I not only create things that kind of push me up to the edge of my growing edge, but also what happens is I create situations that remind me or wake me up to the fact that I have grown, that I'm not in the same place I was 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago. And it might be uncomfortable, but it's still there. But here's an example of growth that's happened in my life. And I don't realize that's happened until a situation arises that puts me in. And here's the way I used to respond to that situation, and I'm not responding that way anymore. Yeah, Sangi?
Well, that's the case. From that person's point of view, I might be afraid of you. In the sense of how we have just managed for domesticated all our natural. How many times do we want to cry out because we're or do some, you know, some kind of, but no, we have, you know, domesticated and tamed ourselves. You know, like we tame our pets and clothe them. You know? So in some senses, we're here. And sometimes maybe we're afraid of that. What if I start crying in public? What if I do this and I have a big smell behind? Absolutely.
Thank you. Top of page 7. God is present in all things. Nothing can exist without the presence of God or the presence of love. I learned that in theology class many, many years ago. Thomas Aquinas, one of the tenets of Thomas Aquinas' work. In Catholic Christian theology, right, was nothing exists without the presence of God. God is present in all things. The teaching of the upper room, higher consciousness, the teaching of reception is, of course, a teaching of manifestation, but of manifestation through being, not getting. Through alignment and reception, not stamping one's feet and shaking one's fist at the sky, I demand what I get be as I say. Manifestation on the higher planes of reality is the realization of something that's always been there. I'm not creating the presence of God, it's always been there. I'm not creating higher consciousness, it's always been there. I didn't realize it was a choice for a long time, but it is. If any of you got what you truly thought you needed, you might be grateful for it for a while. How many times have you said, here's what I need. And if you give it to me or let me have it, and then I will be happy or I'll be at peace or I'll be pleased or I'll be joyful or whatever might happen to me. And 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10 when we get it, find out it doesn't give us what we wanted in the first place. Or if it does, it's, you know, about 30 seconds. And then there's something else that crops up and says, you know, well, that was good, but what about this? So my prayer these days has been, Lord, that I may see. Also, God, I don't know what I need, but you do. How did Emily Cady put it? God, I don't know the answer, you do, show me. And this is not an outside force we're talking about. We're talking about the divine consciousness that is within ourselves. Stop trying to define what it is you need to be peaceful or to be joyful or to be whole or to be complete, and recognize that the only aspect of you that really knows the truth of that is your divine consciousness. Is that simple and that easy to forget?
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah, Don.
I'm praying conscious group this morning. Daily Durham. They talk about awakened awareness.
Awakened awareness.
I love that.
That's really interesting. I've been doing something called centering prayer for a while. And my mantra, if you want to call it that, has been awakened awareness. Awake, not just awareness, but awakened awareness. Somebody was asking something here. Jim?
Yeah. What I want to just kind of go back briefly, what you're saying in terms of, you know, giving us what we think we need. Sometimes I think that we look at Spirit Man as Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And then so also too, the other thing I want to say is that, okay, the giving us what we need, it's not really what we need, but it's also, it feels like it's, I'm going to use this thing. It's like maybe putting lipstick on a pig in terms of, okay, I got this. But what that does is that kind of moves me away, or that delays me, defers me from actually doing the work. Okay, I got this car, or I got this money, or I got this home. Okay, what, you know, is that going to make me happy? But what it does is it really kind of delays us from doing the work. Perhaps maybe we're not willing to do the work, because doing the work is work. So let me go ahead and get this and get that, so I don't really have to do it. That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, Jim. I think that's kind of the hidden meaning of many of our prayers, is give me what I need, but I make it so they don't have to work for it. In 12-step recovery, they say we were looking for an easier, softer way, but it didn't work. A little bit more, and then we can do our meditation. If any of you got what you truly thought you needed, you might be grateful for it. But instead, you find yourself disappointed because you are not receiving what you wish, what you have designed, and what you have thought was so. A wise teacher once said that there's two ways to be disappointed. One is to not get what you want, and the other is to get what you want. Because once you get what you want, you find out it wasn't what you wanted at all. You didn't have enough. So maybe we can close with that and do our meditation. So I'm going to ask you, if you care to, you can close your eyes again. A couple of breaths. It's interesting to notice the difference between how I am present to myself in this moment compared to about 45 minutes ago, when I was all frazzled because things weren't working the way I thought they should. And part of that has to do with the space we've created for ourselves and for one another. Because whenever we close out one of our classes, one of the first things I notice is what you might call a spaciousness, an openness. Not connected to any specific thing, because it goes beyond thought, goes beyond feeling, but it's still there. So allow ourselves for the next moment or so to become consciously aligned to divine consciousness. You have any trouble with that? Be consciously aligned to being loved. Consciously aligned to being loved. So that you're in that vibrational state. You're in that awareness. You are in that awakened awareness. And imagine you can breathe it into your being. Let it touch every cell and fiber of you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Take it into your being. It is who you are. You are not creating anything other than the truth of who you already are. And rest in that for a moment. And with a sense of love and gratitude, imagine that you can send that energy outward. Especially to touch those who are lost, to those who have forgotten who they are. And that you become a conduit of that grace. You become a vessel of that grace. As you heal the world. Become aware of your breathing, the rhythm of your breath, the rhythm of your heartbeat. Knowing within your being the energy and the power of phrase, full of grace, full of grace. And when you're ready to, you can take another deep breath, stretch a bit, open your eyes. Does anybody have any closing thoughts before we close this morning?
Jerry.
Yes.
Tonight on Amazon, I believe it's the premiere of the next season of The Chosen. For those who are interested.
Okay, I will check that out. Thank you all for being here. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. You're the man, Jerry.
Bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
Be at peace.
So grateful. You as well.
Everyone. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.